The Obama administration is bypassing Congress by attempting to rewrite the law and set basic restroom policies, locker room policies, and even shower policies for public and private employers across the country, not just North Carolina.
To the transgender community, the entire Obama administration, we want you to know that we see you, we stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you going forward.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Italy's civil unions law is a glass half full, Tokyo pride peaks as Japan's school bullying surges, and the Obama administration joins U.S. transgender bathroom battles. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending May 14th, 2016. Italy is no longer the last major country in Western Europe without some form of legal recognition for same-gender couples. After several failed attempts to enact a civil unions bill, lawmakers finally voted overwhelmingly on May 11th to create them. Passage fulfilled Prime Minister Matteo Renzi's campaign promise to finally get a civil unions bill for same-gender couples through Parliament. He bravely survived a confidence vote over the issue. Renzi declared it a day of celebration for those who finally feel recognized. Debate over the rights of same-gender couples has raged for several years in Italy. The politically powerful Roman Catholic Church and church-backed conservative lawmakers were able to block earlier versions of a civil unions bill. Church opposition survived in at least a couple of the odd and disappointing provisions of the version that passed this week. One section about faithfulness and fidelity in a civil union was removed over fears that requiring a same-gender couple to be monogamous would be too similar to marriage. Another part that allowed a person to adopt his or her same-gender partner's biological children was also removed. While it was far less than marriage equality, many activists celebrated the bill's passage as a good first step. Not everyone was dancing in the street, however. Maralena Grassadonia of Italy's Rainbow Families Association panned the bill as a monument to the hypocrisy and ineptitude of a political class. This government will go down in history, not for having passed the first law on gay unions, she added, but for having denied children their family rights. The Roman Catholic Church called the new law creeping fascism.
Bermuda's government has announced a date for its pending referendum on marriage equality and civil unions. June 23rd. Voters on the island nation will be asked two questions. Are you in favor of same-sex marriage in Bermuda? And are you in favor of same-sex civil unions in Bermuda? According to the local Royal Gazette newspaper, a coalition of groups including the Rainbow Alliance, Marriage Equality Bermuda, Same Love Bermuda, and the newly registered charity Out Bermuda will be pushing a double yes vote. Preserve Marriage Treasurer Mark Hall, a youth minister for Word of Life Church, described his group as an umbrella organization for those against any legal recognition of same-gender couples. He said that their Double No campaign was likely to focus on paid media advertising. Prime Minister Michael Dunkley told a press conference this week that the referendum results would be non-binding. He said the vote was an opportunity for government and for the people of Bermuda to express their opinions on a very important subject.
The pending marriage equality referendum in Australia is also non-binding. But it will only happen if the current Liberal National Coalition government maintains its parliamentary majority in the upcoming national elections. The opposition Labour Party and its Green allies are almost certain to pass a marriage equality bill if they win a majority in Parliament. That would also save the estimated $160 million cost of the referendum. A solid majority of Australians support marriage equality in virtually every public opinion poll. Most expect that the referendum results would reflect that support. National elections have been scheduled for July 2nd.
In other news, Tokyo's 6th annual Rainbow Pride Parade on May 8th was the biggest ever. A two-day fair that began the day before included booths staffed by many Japanese and Japan-based international companies. According to organizers, some 70,000 people attended the weekend fair and parade, the largest turnout in the event's history. Though they surely didn't intend to rain on the parade, Human Rights Watch released a report earlier in the week charging that systematic discrimination and bullying against LGBT students is rampant in Japan's public schools. It ranges from hostile verbal abuse to violent physical assaults, and the report accused teachers and other school officials of turning a blind eye to the problem. HRW researcher Kyle Knight urged the Japanese government to incorporate sexual and gender minorities into its bullying policy, which is currently under review.
Transgender people were front and center this week in the United States. It began with dueling press conferences on May 9th by North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory and U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch over the state's now infamous HB2. The law bans local governments from protecting their LGBT citizens from discrimination, but it's been described as a bathroom bill because it also requires trans students to use sex-segregated campus facilities that match the gender on their birth certificate. And before the week was up, the Obama administration told U.S. public schools to allow transgender students to use the campus bathrooms and other facilities in which they feel most comfortable. Federal funding could be on the line if school officials refuse to follow the guidelines issued by the Department of Education. The Department of Health and Human Services also issued new rules confirming that LGBT people are protected against healthcare discrimination under the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. The directive says that transgender people in particular must be provided with transition-related services and can't be denied health care by providers or professionals who receive federal funding.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest told reporters during a press briefing at week's end that no federal funding would be withheld from states that do not follow the directives until lawsuits involving North Carolina's so-called bathroom bill and similar state laws are resolved. Conservative politicians, mostly in the South, including North Carolina's Governor Pat McCrory, of course, condemned the Obama administration's aggressive pro-trans actions. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick called it blackmail from the President of the United States and said that we will not sell out our children to the federal government. Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi, which has its own anti-LGBT religious freedom law, said the new guidelines are the most outrageous example yet of the Obama administration forcing its liberal agenda on states that roundly reject it. Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas ordered schools in his state to disregard the directive, which he called social engineering. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin said that it is difficult to imagine a more absurd federal overreach into a local issue. And Tennessee State Representative Susan Lynn wrote on her Facebook page that no one should be forced to entertain another's mental disorder.
6 in 10 Americans, however, are opposed to anti-transgender bathroom bills. That's the finding of a new CNN-sponsored public opinion poll released on May 9th. 57% of the 1,001 respondents expressed opposition to laws that require transgender people to use bathrooms that don't correspond to their gender identity. Most said they had a family member or close friend who's gay or lesbian, and 14% said they were close with someone who's transgender. 38% said they supported such legislation. Democrats and independents were more likely to oppose the transphobic laws, but Republicans were almost evenly split on the issue. About 75% of respondents favored laws guaranteeing equal protection for transgender people in jobs, housing, and public accommodations. 80% were in favor of such protections for lesbian and gay people. The poll was conducted between April 28th and May 1st, before this week's major pro-transgender developments. CNN said the margin of error was plus or minus 3 percentage points. Despite efforts that began more than 4 decades ago, federal lawmakers still lag behind public opinion. The latest version of a bill to ban anti-LGBT bias currently languishes in the Republican-controlled Congress.
But finally, corporate America and major professional organizations have come to the defense of LGBT people in record numbers in several states that have considered or have already passed discriminatory laws. A faith-based convention planned for Nashville, Tennessee, has been moved out of the volunteer state because of its recently enacted law allowing counselors and therapists to deny service to LGBT people based on sincerely held principles, a less than subtle type of so-called religious freedom bill. The Colorado-based Centers for Spiritual Living expected more than 500 people at its 3-day convention in February. The group's announcement to move their event out of Tennessee came just a day after the 55,000-member American Counseling Association said it was moving its 2017 conference out of Nashville because of the Tennessee law. More than 3,000 mental health professionals are expected to attend. Richard Yep, chief executive officer of the ACA, explained the organization's decision to relocate their 2017 conference and expo in a YouTube-posted video.
Of all the state legislation impacting counseling during my 30 years with ACA, the new Tennessee law based on Senate Bill 1556, House Bill 1840, is the worst. HB 1840 allows counselors to deny services to LGBTQ clients and others in clear violation of the American Counseling Association's Code of Ethics. No other state has a law like Tennessee's. If the new law is allowed to stand, we cannot in good conscience bring business to Tennessee. It is an affront to our profession, and we must stand firm to prevent other states from enacting a law like HB 1840. Therefore, our annual meeting will be rescheduled for another venue outside of Tennessee.
That's Richard Yep of the American Counseling Association.
And that's News Wrap for the week ending May 14th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Abby Dees.
There's more queer news out of North Carolina, and it's almost always something these days. Dueling bathroom lawsuits were exchanged on May 9th. 4 days later, the Obama administration issued groundbreaking guidelines advancing the rights of transgender Americans. This week's update begins with reports by Pacifica Radio's Mark Miracle and Nell Abram of Free Speech Radio News.
A potentially epic clash over transgender rights took shape today when the U.S. Justice Department sued North Carolina over the state's bathroom law after the governor refused to back down. Billions of dollars in federal aid for North Carolina and a potentially landmark decision regarding the reach of the nation's civil rights laws are at stake in the dispute, which in recent weeks has triggered boycotts and cancellations aimed at pressuring the state into repealing the measure. Last week, the Justice Department said the law amounts to illegal sex discrimination and gave Governor Pat McCrory until today to say he would refuse to enforce it. When the deadline arrived, a defiant McCrory instead sued the federal government.
Our nation is dealing with a very new, complex, and emotional issue. How to balance the expectations of privacy and equality in one of the most private areas of our lives, restrooms, locker rooms, or public shower facilities. No one in North Carolina was talking about bathroom policy until the Charlotte City Council imposed a mandate on private businesses. This mandate required, with potential penalty of fine, access to restrooms, locker rooms, or shower facilities be based upon one's gender identity or gender expression. A similar policy was rejected just months earlier by the voters of Houston, Texas, by 61% of the vote. This caused major privacy concerns about males entering female facilities or females entering male facilities. Our state legislature believed this was an unnecessary government overreach. The state legislature and this governor also believed that guidelines then needed to be put in place because of this new public topic. Now, just 5 days ago, the U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to my office, the Department of Public Safety, which reports to this governor, and to the university system, suggesting that having government employees use the bathroom, locker room, or shower facility that corresponds to their biological sex is in conflict with federal policy. The Department of Justice asked all parties to set aside their constitutional duty and refuse to follow or enforce our state law. And the U.S. government gave us a mere 3 business days to respond to this letter. I do not agree with their interpretation of federal law. That is why this morning I have asked a federal court to clarify what the law actually is. Because this is not just a North Carolina issue. This is now a national issue and an issue which imposes new law on every private sector employer throughout the United States of America with over 15 employees. And let me say something. Our nation is one nation, especially when it comes to fighting discrimination, which I support wholeheartedly. Ultimately, I think it's time for the U.S. Congress to bring clarity to our national anti-discrimination provisions under Title VII and Title IX. Now, right now, the Obama administration is bypassing Congress by attempting to rewrite the law and set basic restroom policies, locker room policies, and even shower policies for public and private employers across the country, not just North Carolina. And I want to ensure the people of our state and our country that North Carolina has long held traditions of ensuring equality. The majority of our citizens in our great state and this governor did not seek out this issue. However, the state of North Carolina and this governor welcomed the opportunity to be part of the solution for all of the states and especially our nation, the greatest nation, the United States of America. Thank you very much.
Governor Pat McCrory, I'm Mark Miracle. More from Free Speech Radio News' Nell Abram.
North Carolina lawmakers introduced, passed, signed, and enacted HB 2 over the course of a single day in March. Supporters say the bill is not aimed at discriminating against transgender individuals, but rather to protect girls from sexual predators disguising themselves as females to gain entry to public restrooms. Opponents reject this claim, noting there are no such incidents on record. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says this bill goes far beyond determining who can use which restroom.
We are here to announce a significant law enforcement action regarding North Carolina's Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. The North Carolina General Assembly passed House Bill 2 in special session on March 23rd of this year. The bill sought to strike down an anti-discrimination provision in a recently passed Charlotte, North Carolina ordinance, as well as to require transgender people in public agencies to use the bathrooms consistent with their sex as noted at birth, rather than the bathrooms that fit their gender identity. The bill was signed into law that same day. And in so doing, the legislature and the governor placed North Carolina in direct opposition to federal laws prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sex and gender identity. More to the point, they created state-sponsored discrimination against transgender individuals who simply seek to engage in the most private of functions in a place of safety and security, a right taken for granted by most of us. But this morning, the state of North Carolina and its governor chose to respond by suing the Department of Justice. Today, we are filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against the state of North Carolina, Governor Pat McCrory, the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, and the University of North Carolina. We are seeking a court order declaring HB 2's restroom restriction impermissibly discriminatory, as well as a statewide bar on its enforcement. Now, while the lawsuit currently seeks declaratory relief, I want to note that we retain the option of curtailing federal funding to the North Carolina Department of Public Safety and the University of North Carolina as this case proceeds. But this action is about a great deal more than bathrooms. This is about the dignity and the respect that we accord our fellow citizens and the laws that we as a people and as a country have enacted to protect them, indeed to protect all of us. And it's about the founding ideals that have led this country haltingly but inexorably in the direction of fairness, inclusion, and equality for all Americans. This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws that followed the Emancipation Proclamation. We saw it in the fierce and widespread resistance to Brown v. Board of Education, and we saw it in the proliferation of state bans on same-sex unions that were intended to stifle any hope that gay and lesbian Americans might one day be afforded the right to marry. And that right, of course, is now recognized as a guarantee embedded in our Constitution. And in the wake of that historic triumph, we have seen bill after bill and state after state taking aim at the LGBT community. And what we must not do, what we must never do, is turn on our neighbors, our family members, our fellow Americans for something that they cannot control and deny what makes them human. And this is why none of us can stand by when a state enters the business of legislating identity and insists that a person pretend to be something or someone that they are not, or invents a problem that does not exist as a pretext for discrimination and harassment. And let me speak now directly to the people of the great state, the beautiful state, my home state of North Carolina. You have been told that this law protects vulnerable populations from harm, but that is just not the case. Instead, what this law does is inflict further indignity on a population that has already suffered far more than its fair share. This law provides no benefit to society, and all it does is harm innocent Americans. And instead of turning away from our neighbors, our friends, and our colleagues, let us instead learn from our history and avoid repeating the mistakes of our past. And let us reflect on the obvious but often neglected lesson that state-sanctioned discrimination never looks good and never works in hindsight. It was not so very long ago that states, including North Carolina, had other signs above restrooms, water fountains, and on public accommodations, keeping people out based on a distinction without a difference. We've moved beyond those dark days, but not without a tremendous amount of pain and suffering and an ongoing fight to keep moving forward. Let us write a different story this time. Let us not act out of fear and misunderstanding, but out of the values of inclusion and diversity and regard for all that make our country great. Now, let me also speak directly to the transgender community itself. Some of you have lived freely for decades, and others of you are still wondering how you can possibly live the lives that you were born to live, to lead. But no matter how isolated, no matter how afraid, and no matter how alone you may feel today, know this, that the Department of Justice, and indeed the entire Obama administration, want you to know that we see you, we stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you going forward. And please know that history is on your side. This country was founded on the promise of equal rights for all, and we have always managed to move closer to that ideal, little by little, day by day. And it may not be easy, but we will get there together.
That's Attorney General Loretta Lynch. For FSRN, I'm Nell Abram.
Good evening. It's Friday, May 13th, from Pacifica Radio, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFK in Los Angeles. This is the Evening News with Glenn Reeder. I'm Mark Miracle. The Obama administration announced today that public schools must permit transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity. The Justice and Education Departments jointly issued the directive. The guidance does not impose any new legal requirements, but officials say it's meant to clarify expectations of school districts that receive funding from the federal government. The guidance comes days after the Justice Department and the state of North Carolina filed dueling lawsuits over a new state law that says transgender people must use public bathrooms, showers, and changing rooms that correspond to the sex on their birth certificate. The administration has said that law violates the Civil Rights Act. Politicians in Texas, Arkansas, and elsewhere vowed defiance, and other conservative states could follow suit. Texas says it can do without the billions of dollars it receives in federal school funding. The state's lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick, says Texas will not yield to blackmail and urged superintendents to defy the new federal guidelines.
The federal government's guidance was met with praise from parents of transgender students at the Transgender Law Center in San Francisco. Legal Director Elena Turner called it a big step forward.
Inclusive policies that make clear that transgender students can't be discriminated against, that they will be treated like everyone else, that sends a message that transgender students are entitled to respect and that the school is a welcoming environment. Unfortunately, many people still don't understand what it means to be transgender, and there's a lot of education that still needs to be done.
The Liberty Council, a group claiming to promote religious freedom, denounces the directive as a lawless act which only works through an implicit threat. Matt Stable, the founder of the Liberty Council, says transgender people are mentally ill.
This is not normal for a man to think that he is a woman trapped in a man's body. It doesn't require the forcing of opening up restrooms and locker rooms and shower rooms to people of the opposite sex. There should be other intervention for those individuals that have this kind of mental stress or dysphoria or disconnect.
Matt Stable, the founder of the Liberty Council. Schools across the country will have to implement the directive within the next few weeks, although the consequences for not doing so are not yet clear. The government's directive is expected to be challenged in court.
That report by Mark Miracle and Glenn Reeder of Pacifica Radio News. A companion directive was issued by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services on May 13th, confirming that transgender citizens are fully covered by President Obama's Affordable Care Act and are entitled to all medical services under the act, including transition-related care. Meanwhile, a veritable chorus of law enforcement officials are calling North Carolina's HB2 virtually unenforceable. Asheville Police Department Public Information Officer Christina Hollingsay told National Public Radio that the legislation not only fails to include any penalties, it would seem to require officers to stand guard outside restrooms and other gender-segregated public facilities, checking people's birth certificates, taking police away from genuine public safety duties. All this wrangling has certainly thrust the issue into public consciousness. Reference book publisher Merriam-Webster said searches for the word transgender in its online dictionary surged 630% soon after news broke about the Obama administration's pro-trans directives. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Abby Dees and Michael LeBeau contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride and to Mark Miracle and Glenn Reeder of Pacifica Radio News and Nell Abram of Free Speech Radio News. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, for making this program possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Alicia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on kwtf.net, Bodega Bay, California, WBSU, Brockport, New York, South Ribble Community Radio, Lancashire, England, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.